morning, church. Thank you so much for that heartfelt singing. I know I've sung those songs many times, but they touched me deeply today, probably because of you. Thank you for that. Is Jesse able to be here this morning? I miss him, don't you? And John, I miss seeing John. Tell him we miss him. We're praying for him. That back pain is a horrible thing. It's not as bad as having a baby. But it's a horrible thing. A couple of weeks ago, I went to the airport to pick up my aunt and uncle and cousin Cindy. You remember them being in church. And I was in the terminal for quite a while, for over an hour, waiting for their flight to arrive. And their flight was an hour and a half late. But I was sitting there, and the seat beside me became empty. And a young fellow came in, and he looked over my way and asked if he could sit there, and I said, sure, and he sat down. And then we started talking. Imagine that. And he had black hair and a black beard, real bushy beard. And he was from Pakistan. And he was a Muslim from Pakistan. We talked for over an hour about the Bible, about Christianity, about Islam. We had a really interesting conversation, and I hope that he got a good impression of Christians as I was able to talk with him. Come to find out, he was a Pakistani Air Force pilot who had come to the United States to be trained by American pilots. Isn't that interesting? But he grew up in Pakistan, a Muslim, and one of the questions that I asked him is, have you ever read the Quran? And guess what? He said, no, he had never read the Quran. I've preached on the Quran before. I've done classes on it, on Islam before, and I know quite a bit about it. So it was good to have conversation with him and to know where he was at. But he told me something I thought was fascinating. He grew up memorizing the Quran in Arabic, a language he could not speak. Isn't that crazy? And the Quran is written very poetically. So have you ever heard them read the Quran? It's almost like singing. How much can you memorize singing? Like the Apostle song? Jesus called them one by one. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. I can't remember their names unless I'm singing the song. Or how about the Old Testament? You know, books of the Old Testament. You know, I know one of those songs, let us sing the book of Moses, let us sing the book of Moses. There are five of them all. And then when you get the minor prophets, how many of you can say the minor prophets? Let us sing the minor prophets. There are 12 of them all. Come on, everybody. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, and Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. These are the books of the Old Testament. We got them. It's so easy to remember through song, isn't it? So easy to remember those things. Maybe we could memorize the whole Bible like that Muslim memorized the Quran. And it would be a lot more valuable to you, let me tell you that, if you could memorize the whole Bible by song. I'm sure there are Jewish people who could come in and sing Psalms of the Old Testament, the whole verses, singing it with its poetry that we can't see in our English language that's in the Hebrew text. And they could just sing it like Psalm 119. Wouldn't it be cool to sing this whole song that praises God's Word and its benefits to our lives? Okay, so I need to get to my lesson. It's about a song. You know, the song, Why Did My Savior Come to Earth? It's a song we've heard so often. Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did He choose lowly birth? Why did He drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross be lifted up? Till Jesus comes, I'll sing His praise and then to glory go and live with Him through endless days. Why? Because He loved me so. When our son was real little, he got to that phase, the preschool phase, where he asked why about everything. You know, you told him what to do, and he'd say, why? Did your kids ever do that to you, Scott? Why? And he got so everything, he would say, why? You know, you just wanted to pinch his ear. And we told him, you can't say that anymore. Okay? So the next time it came around to where he wanted to say it, you know, he kind of looks around and he says, because why? Like the word because changed the whole situation, right? Why did my Savior come to earth? What we want to talk about this morning. You know, songs are wonderful because you, for some reason, when you attach musical notes to words, it just gets stuck in your brain. You know, Mary had a little lamb. It gets stuck in your brain, right? And it's easy to memorize that way. It's just stuck in your brain. I grew up hearing songs at church, and I want to tell you, when I was chisel plowing a field 8 hours a day, guess what I sang? Church songs all the time. Guess what? When I was cleaning a barn or I was loading a wagon with some corn, guess what I sang? Church songs, because they were embedded in my mind, and they're so good for us to have, because when we meet times of temptation, if we have that song that comes through your mind, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Don't you think that can help us? Yeah. Isn't it wonderful that God gave a song to bring joy to us, to bring encouragement to us, and bring motivation to us, and to get us on the right track when we're doing on the wrong track? Isn't that so neat? That God uses this. He knows it touches our hearts and our minds. Well, I got into all of that, and that wasn't really part of my sermon, but let's get to what we're talking about here. There are several Bible answers to that question. Why did my Savior come to earth? He came to save His people from their sins. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. He said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. You know, the name Jesus was a very common name in the first century Palestine. Just as common as, like, John is today. Hebrew people like to name their son Jesus, because that is the Greek form of the Old Testament word Joshua. And Joshua was a deliverer, someone who led the people, a savior for the people. Joshua was. And of course, Joshua means Jehovah saves. That's what that name means. But Jesus is called this name because He came to save His people from their sins. Paul says, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? To save sinners, right? To save us. We sin and fall short of the glory of God, and God's gift makes it possible for our sins to be taken away, for us to be forgiven of them and taken that guilt away, and we stand saved in God's sight. And when he had taken the cup at the Passover meal, Jesus gave thanks and he gave it to his apostles and he said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, you know, we are thinking about the fact that he came to save us from our sins. He also came to fulfill what the Old Testament had prophesied. He came to fulfill what was written in the law and the prophets. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill, he said. And he did that very thing. He fulfilled the law and the prophets, as he says in Luke chapter 24. He came to fulfill what was written of him in Hebrews chapter 10. It talks about him coming to do his Father's will, to fulfill what was written in the scroll, in the roll of the Old Testament. Jesus came as well to be obedient to his Father's will. In Philippians chapter 2 is such a beautiful text. Paul was encouraging Christians to care about each other more than themselves. He says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. For years I tried to understand exactly what the Greek words meant when it said that Jesus did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. And I finally came up with something I thought was a really good illustration of that. I think I've used this here before, but it's good to think about it again. You know, if you take your little child to grandpa and grandma's, and or to someone else's house, and you're going to leave them, you know, for the first time, you're going to leave them. You don't like to do it, but you need to go do something, you know. And your child doesn't like it. You ever seen that scenario? The child is crying, I don't want to stay here. No, no. And your child maybe comes and grabs a hold of your leg. Say, no, no, don't make me do this. You got the picture? There you have it. Jesus put up no resistance. He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, to be held on to. But he emptied himself and he came and died for us in obedience to his Father. What a beautiful picture this text gives us of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us even before the cross. And Jesus came for another reason, to defeat Satan. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same. He came. He came here in flesh and blood, laid as a baby in a manger, a feeding trough. When I was a kid, we had an old barn out back, and it's where my grandpa milked cows. And over in the corner, there's this little manger. Every time I looked at that, I thought about Jesus when I was a kid. Yeah, there's a manger. Jesus was in something like that. He partook of the flesh. He came in the flesh and blood, like us, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Satan is the adversary. He is the opponent to God, and he is your adversary. And you need to get serious about that. The Son of God appeared for this purpose. Why did my Savior come to earth? For this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. We're going to have to move on. He came also to end the fear of death. I'm brave today. I can tell you. I'm not afraid to die. When we lived in Florida, I used to spearfish a lot in the ocean. And people would ask me, aren't you scared of the sharks? And I told my wife, you know, you're in trouble. Because I'm not afraid to die. I'm just not afraid to die. And it's not because I'm so powerful, I'm so great. No, it's because of this. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same. Why did my Savior come to earth? He partook of flesh and blood, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Have you ever seen someone die who's not a Christian? You know, I've been a minister for years, and I've been in the hospital when people are dying and they're not saved. And I've seen people who are struggling with a disease and they know they're going to die and they're as mean and ornery as they can be. Have you ever seen people like that? Because they're not saved. They're not Christians. They don't know where they're headed. They don't know what's going on after life. And it is very sad. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to think seriously about that because you're going to be there someday. And you need a relationship with a God you're going to see someday who loves you and cares about you. Think seriously about that. But Jesus set us free from the fear of death so I could go spearfishing. And I ain't afraid. In fact, that's one of my most favorite things to do. I could be in that water and see God's glorious creation under the sea. And it is better down where it's wetter, under the sea. It is. I've seen it. It's gorgeous. But I can be there without fear. First of all, because I'm not going to cover myself with blood for the sharks to smell me. But most importantly, because I'm not afraid to die. In fact, I say with Paul, come, Lord Jesus. He came to make that hope and that assurance possible for you and me. Isn't that wonderful? And he also came so that my life could be changed. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. That's Romans 6 in a nutshell. Right there, for you theologians, for by his wounds you were healed. He died so that I could be changed. I'm not the person I used to be. Oh, I wasn't so unloving, but I didn't love. I wasn't so unkind, but I didn't care. That was me as a teenager. I thought I was a pretty good person, but I wasn't. And the older I got, the more guilty I found myself as being. But Jesus has made it possible for me to change. And my wife's hoping that I change even more. Those who are waiting on the table, please come up here. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are remembering why He came. We are thankful that He came. We are realizing that He cares. And we are astounded at His love. Think of these things.